The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we return to the July 2020 edition of Our State Magazine, celebrating North Carolina. Theme this month is waterfalls and swimming holes. This is a section header, cooling off in Carolina. The splash on our faces as we plunge into a creek-fed swimming hole. The rainbow of mist that forms like a friendly apparition over a roaring waterfall. On hot summer days, we seek cold water to restore our spirits and feed our souls. A couple of pictures here. There's a kid here. He is just about obliterated by what's probably a waterfall or something simulating a waterfall falling on his head. There's a little bit of a time delay on the photo, so all of the bubbles that are coming down, the droplets are kind of smeared and all white, and it's got a black background. He's got a black shirt on, his eyes are closed, and a big smile on his face. He's really getting drenched. On the banks of Deep Creek and Bryson Creek, tubers and campers cool off in white water rushes following, or rather flowing, from the Great Smoky Mountains. Boy, is he having fun. And here we go, in the land of waterfalls, written by Morgan Sykes. So you want to be a nature photographer. Take a trip with a professional shooter as he captures the beauty of falling water. And there he is. He's on the bank with sunlight streaming in on him. You can see these rays coming in on him. He's carrying a tripod, and he's got a big backpack, and he's right at, part of his body is covered by the greenery that's in the foreground, and in the back is a giant cliff face, and over part of that cliff face is water that's flowing down. So obviously somebody else took this particular photograph of him, but it is an absolutely gorgeous waterfall scene. You've got it's like perfection from a photographic standpoint. You've got the waterfall, and you know the slight slow shutter gives you that milky white look as it pours down over the sheer rock face, and behind it are more rocks, and growing out of the rocks are some trees in very unusual places, and hanging down in front there's some branches from the trees above the photographer, and the sun is cutting its way in a circle with rays coming out of it through these same branches, and then you've got the mist capturing the light of the sun and forming these rays over on the left side. It's just an absolutely perfect photograph. Boone photographer Tommy White scouts the perfect location to set up his tripod and harness the early morning energy of Looking Glass Falls near Brevard. I better read the article now, but there is a picture of the photographer making his way over some very rough rocks and watching very carefully where he steps while he's got probably a very expensive camera on that tripod that he's carrying over his shoulders. And it looks like he has some sturdy shoes on also. And, of course, there's a waterfall in the background. And it says, White at Dill Falls in Jackson County has learned to maneuver over slick rocks and through rushing water without sustaining too much injury to himself or his equipment. And you know these rocks that are near the waterfalls that get splashed with all of the mist and the splashes that come up from these, they really get covered with a very thin coating of moss, and they're very, very slippery. So I'm sure he's learned his lesson. He really does look like he's taking care. Tommy White knows that sometimes to get the shot, you have to get off the beaten path. This way, he directs, gesturing to a barely perceptible dip off the laurel-strewn double track. He descends, using his hands to part the thick green curtain of gnarled rhododendron. The drop down the slippery embankment is abrupt, but White navigates with forceful grace, grabbing onto roots and shimmying backward. He swats away a spider web and smiles. The web is proof of what tingles is in the air, that we are the first humans here today. Finally, White steps into a clearing. The afternoon sun catches the mist, haloing what we came to see. Dill Falls, a 50-foot boulder-buttressed cathedral of rushing crystalline water. He takes a breath and bounds forward, rock-hopping, until he is shin-deep, and then squats. "Safety first," he says. "Taking a nasty spill into creek, you don't want to do that. I have scars to this day," and, he adds with a chuckle, "I've killed two cameras." Adventure. That's what photographers like the boon-based White live for in their pursuit of capturing a breathtaking waterfall. Western North Carolina boasts an astonishing abundance of falls. Transylvania County, situated between Nantahala National Forest and Pisgah National Forest, just south of Asheville, officially calls itself Land of Waterfalls. Hollywood has taken notice of the region's stunning scenery, shooting films like The Last of the Mohicans and The Hunger Games in its unspoiled beauty. A drive through the Land of Waterfalls yields scores of enthusiasts squaring up tripods, angling for the perfect shot. Hikers pose at the base of falls, braving the mist for selfies. The hordes of cars parked at trailheads reveal that one needn't be a big-budget filmmaker or a veteran photographer to appreciate or capture the beauty of falling water. Taking photographs of waterfalls, whether on an iPhone or an expensive DSLR camera, produces mementos of wonder. White says that a satisfying waterfall photo is the ultimate souvenir. It's a way to take it home. But with their glistening rocks and constantly moving rushes, waterfalls can be wily subjects that test the mettle of even the most seasoned photographers. White remembers how discouraging it felt early on to snap a lackluster waterfall photo. "I decided that I wanted to help other people who are wanting to learn the craft and art of photography so that they never have to go through what I went through," he said. White and his business partner, Alistair Nicole, run Mountains to Sea workshops for aspiring photographers of all skill levels. They take small groups to waterfalls and provide them with immersive one-on-one instruction, from scouting locations to safe rock scrambling to setting up the shot. Often to ensure that each attendee receives individualized attention, they'll team up with a colleague like Thomas Moores, an affable engineer by day and an award-winning published photographer by night and by dawn. "It's a lot of strange hours," Moores says with a laugh, "because photographers are light-obsessed, and because it's difficult to take good pictures in full sun, the schedule can be dizzying. To do a sunrise photograph, you need to be there an hour before sunrise," he says. "I've gone to bed and set my alarm for 3:30 a.m. so I can take pictures." A desire to learn the art of waterfall photography is how I end up out in the woods with White and Moores. The day starts early. Before sunrise, I'm standing knee-deep in Looking Glass Falls, balancing a DSLR camera on a tripod in rushing water. The creek feels bracing on my skin. The ink-dark forest around us is sleepy and still, tall and jovial with a good-natured southern twang. White gently coaches me. "See this branch? It's being friendly. But the one to its right is cutting a rug." He adjusts my lens and frames the shot so that when the dawn rays break over Looking Glass's famous drop, we'll be ready. I nod woozily. All the movement that makes waterfalls so compelling also makes them difficult to shoot. You have to consider the kinetic elements, like wind-jostled branches and swirling grass. Long exposures lend falling water the silk and airbrushed quality that sets photographs by pros like White and Moores apart from those of hobbyists. While White helps me frame the shot, Moores darts around like a mountain goat, snapping photos of us at work. His agility is no coincidence. It's one of the reasons why I exercise and try to stay in shape, Moores says. When the sun breaks over the falls, Moores and White take off as if in trances, trudging closer, jockeying for better angles. Their wide-eyed wonder shakes me, sleep-deprived and under-caffeinated, awake. White sees things in the falls that I do not. Lines and colors emerge as if conjured into our lenses. He is unimpressed by the show-stopping big drop, drawn instead to the geometry created by boulders along the fall's edge. Without his direction, I never would have noticed this. The foreground here is so strong that the waterfall becomes a supporting element, White explains. I nod and snap. By the time the sun rises, saturating looking glass in gold light as early bird tourists arrive, Moores and White are ready to move on. It's dead, White pronounces, meaning that beautiful hiking weather is terrible photography weather. We'll have to wait for sunset to hit Dill Falls. White remembers his first camera. It was a gift from his parents when he was in junior high, and he still has it. Moores picked up photography as an adult when he wanted to snap Ansel Adams-like pictures of Yosemite National Park for his 10th wedding anniversary. For both men, photography is a journey, an obsession. Sharing their photography is a way to share their perspectives of a natural world. When I point a camera at a scene, I have the ability to record a unique vision and bring it home with me, White says. For Moores, photography began as a way to document new places he visited. Now it's turned into, here's a way for me to get to see more new places, he says. The thrill of discovery, particularly of an unphotographed waterfall, is addictive. You have the noise and the movement and the lush vegetation, Moores says. You can get to a place that you can imagine not many people have visited. There's that sense of anticipation. It never gets old. White enjoys that quest, too. It's magical when you find a hidden waterfall on your own, he says. The first thought that goes through my head is, I wonder how many people have been here. Which is why tagging along with pros like White and Moores is so special. They do the legwork, scouting locations, planning access, and they can equip their students accordingly. At Dill Falls, sunset is imminent. The golden July skies are dampening down. Fallen laurel blooms festoon the trail. The air smells of moss and earth. More species of salamander live in these creeks than anywhere else on the planet. While we wait for the light to descend, I show Moores and White a few of the wriggly creatures that I find under rocks. When the sun rests on the crown of the falls, casting the water in shimmering light, the men set out in silent motion. They are as at home in these creeks as the salamanders, taking photographs of beauty more subtle than I can see. 20 minutes after sunset, they're still snapping pictures while the rest of the forest sleeps around them and the waterfall roars. Well, if you're interested in one of those mountain-to-sea workshops, you can call 828-773-0369, mountaintoseaworkshops.com. And what do you know? I flipped the page and hit Falls for All, another gorgeous waterfall scene. But interesting, this one is from the backside. There's a little cave behind the waterfall. And a man is standing on some rocks at the front of the cave, and he's got his hand out like he's putting his hand out into the rain. And it says, about a century ago, at a small school sat near Greenland Creek in Jackson County's Panthertown Valley, giving Schoolhouse Falls its name. Photographer Thomas Moores took the self-portrait behind the falls' radiant wall of mist. If the steady rush of water over rocks is nature's poetry, then North Carolina is its ultimate anthology. Here are 16 falls from the Soratown Mountains and the Piedmont to Transylvania County's Land of Waterfalls that you can drive to, hike to, or explore with your kids, written by Mark Kemp. Overleaf, another beautiful picture. Falls are so different. This one is cascading over some rough cliffs, and it comes down. It's almost terraced. It's not evenly terraced, but it's as if the wall of rock is terraced. So the water comes down and it bounces up and comes down again, and it bounces over the edge and it comes down again and then off to the left. Well, that's not as easy a path, so it dribbles down there. And then there's a spot where there's nothing, and then it starts up again. So it's and on the far side, on our left, as we look at, there's a steady stream that comes all the way down unobstructed. So it's a really interesting picture here. In Cherokee, Mingo means big bear, and some people refer to Mingo Falls, a spectacular horsetail plunge in the Quala boundary next to Great Smoky Mountains, as Big Bear Falls. The smaller Crabtree Falls on the next page is best viewed from a wooden bridge over Big Crabtree Creek. And so here's a person standing on the bridge looking at the falls, and it's shot from behind, and the falls comes down into a little river that's running underneath the bridge, and we see that also. So here are a series of very short articles about each one of the falls. There's a chart here that says the falls at a glance, and it lists them, and it tells you whether they're kid-friendly, drive-up falls, gentle hike, moderate hike, or rugged terrain. I'm looking at the moderate hike one. That would be the one I would be interested in. So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 14 or so falls. So about half of them are a moderate hike. Worth the effort is what the head of this page says. Catawba Falls, the trail to this series of cascades, runs about 3 miles round trip through lush, mossy forest shaded by 100-foot tall trees. Catawba River Road, Old Fort, North Carolina. The Crabtree Falls, 2.5-mile loop to this waterfall, takes hikers through rhododendron thickets. A bridge over the creek in front of the falls offers the best view. That's of the Blue Ridge Parkway at milepost 339.5 in Grassy Creek. Linville Falls, probably one of the best known ones. We've certainly read about that before in our series over the past 10 years or so of our state magazine. The Plunge Basin Trail from the visitor center leads to an overlook and then down to the bottom of the falls for close-up views. That's the Blue Ridge Parkway, milepost 316 in Linville Falls. Mingo Falls, the one that's pictured here on the left, I'd really like to see that myself. The quarter-mile hike, oh, I can do that, to the 120-foot-high Mingo Falls is short, but requires climbing 161 steps. Mingo Falls Campground and Big Cove Road in Cherokee, long way from Raleigh. Rainbow Falls, the 3-mile round-trip hike from the Grassy Ridge Trailhead near the Gorges State Park parking area, leads to a 150-foot-tall waterfall that's even more spectacular after a rainfall. Grassy Ridge Road in Sapphire, North Carolina. How about the Schoolhouse Falls? 2.5-mile round-trip hike in Nantahala National Forest takes you to small cascades that culminate in an 18-foot freefall. The hike consists of multiple trails, so a Panthertown Valley map is highly recommended. When they say that, you get the map. Panthertown Trailhead, Hogback Spur A at Lake Tuxaway. And finally on this page, Whitewater Falls. These falls are so huge that they straddle the Carolinas. The short hike to North Carolina's upper Whitewater Falls yields stunning views of the 411-foot plunge. That's on North Carolina Highway 281 in Cashiers. Now, the next page is kid-friendly falls. Dry Falls. Why would you want to go to Dry Falls? Well, I suppose they really have water there. Take the kids on the easy quarter-mile round-trip trail to Dry Falls for a chance to see the world from behind a waterfall. U.S. Highway 64 in Highlands. Hidden Falls. At less than a mile round trip, Indian Creek Trail is one of Hanging Rock State Park's shortest hikes, with picnic tables and restrooms nearby. Hanging Rock State Park, Visitor Center Drive in Westfield, North Carolina. Hooker Falls, one of four falls on the Little River at DuPont State Recreational Forest. This one drops off a 12-foot ledge into a nice swimming hole. Hooker Falls access area on Staten Road in Hendersonville. Skinny Dip Falls. Don't fret over the name. The swimming hole at this waterfall is 100% family friendly. And the mile-long round-trip hike is easy. Blue Ridge Parkway, milepost 417 in Canton, North Carolina. And finally, Sliding Rock. This natural water slide dumps into an 8-foot deep pool. You can participate or you can watch from the observation area. That's on the Pisgah Highway in Pisgah Forest, North Carolina. And let's see, is this one more or just the next listing? This is one more. This is the final listing of the falls. These are called drive-up falls. I guess this is for those of us who are really lazy and just want to show up and see the falls. Bridal Veil Falls, not the one that's famous out west, but before the highway was rerouted around this waterfall, you could drive behind it. Today, you can still drive up, park, and walk behind it on U.S. Highway 64 in Highlands. Shunkwalkin Falls. That's Shunkwalkin Falls. On the outskirts of Columbus is a 150-foot tall waterfall that you can see from a small pull-off on both sides on White Oak Mountain Road in Columbus. Soco Falls, this double waterfall in the Quala boundary near Cherokee, requires a very short walk from U.S. Highway 19, Blue Ridge Parkway, milepost 455.7 in Maggie Valley, North Carolina. And finally, Walker Falls. Car hikers love this 45-foot tall roadside waterfall just north of Asheville, one of 10 falls along an 8.8-mile Forest Service road. National Forest Service road number 74, Big Ivy area, near Barnardsville, North Carolina. Now, if any of this has interested you, and you want more information and a downloadable PDF of the guide, visit ourstate.com/waterfalls. It says also, if you want to take frame-worthy photos of the falls, they've asked the experts to share their secrets. So you can visit ourstate.com/OS knows best. Okay, I was trying to figure out what that was. That's Our State. OS knows best. That comes after the slash, after ourstate.com. Here's an ad for the Mast General Store. Built on tradition, stocked with love. Now, I've been to the one in Winston-Salem, but they have lots of them now. Valley Crucis, Boone, Asheville, Hendersonville, Waynesville, Knoxville, Tennessee, Greenville, Columbia, South Carolina, and now one in Roanoke, Virginia. MassGeneralStore.com, a really interesting place to go visit. Let's see. I don't think we're going to have time to read something this long, so I'm going to skip to the beginning of the magazine and read some shorts for the next couple of minutes till that Our State theme song comes in here. It's time to say goodbye. This says, Welcome Home Getaway, Winston-Salem, a hotel for art's sake. A funky downtown rental doubles as a showcase for local talent, where the decor comes and goes as often as the guests. At Winston-Salem's Warehouse Art Hotel, owner Haiti Thompson, primary goal is not to book stays, but to sell art. The four guest rooms essentially operate as gallery spaces, including one that showcases a different artist each month. Winston is changing fast, and developers are snapping up old buildings like this for luxury apartments. Thompson says, "We're supposed to be the city of arts and innovation, and I feel a responsibility to support that vision." A wooden staircase leads visitors up above Cranky's Coffee into what used to be a meatpacking facility. Colorful art adorns the brick walls, and at the top of the stairs, a chandelier is made out of dozens of test tubes filled with old photo negatives. Almost every piece is for sale. People check in here, and then they check out with art in their hands, Thompson says. It's a beautiful thing. Warehouse Art. That's Ware, spelled W-H-E-R-E. Warehouse Art Hotel, East 3rd Street in Winston-Salem. Closed to the public due to COVID-19, but you can still purchase art online or by appointment at warehousearthotel.com. Welcome home. Quick Bite. Buxton. Uncommon Salt. An enterprising family traveled from the Caribbean to the Pacific to the Atlantic in search of the perfect sea salt on Hatteras Island. They found it. In her shed on Hatteras Island, Shana McMahon dresses flaky sea salt with natural ingredients like rosemary or lavender to rub on juicy sirloins, salt the rims of cocktail glasses, or sprinkle on freshly sliced watermelon. A few miles north at the Avon Fishing Pier, Shana's husband Brian and their 15-year-old son Declan collect water to fill rows of solar-powered ovens made from recycled wood. Later, the sun will heat the ovens to about 180 degrees, and the source water will evaporate over the next 30 to 45 days, leaving natural crystals with just the right flavor. Hatteras Saltworks provides sea salt to 40 vendors across North Carolina and as far away as New Jersey. The hand-stamped logo on each brown paper bag illustrates the time and care that the McMahons put into their family's salt. And the taste? Well, Shana calls it a burst of the ocean. If you're interested in buying Hatteras Saltworks salt or find out where it is sold, visit HatterasSaltworks.com. On this page, there are three glass bowls filled with salt. One of them looks like it's just pure salt. And, of course, this is more in crystal form than it is. So not like you get out of the salt shaker, but crystalline or coarse salt, I guess you'd call it. One seems to have a brown spice in it. Oh, I think that's rosemary. I recognize the larger piece there. And then the one at the bottom is all brown. Whatever that means. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine, and I hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll be sure to listen next week. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. Give them a call at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our State Magazine is available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, call the studios, please, 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.